But 1 Peter chapter 2 to the Apostle Peter, who was given in Matthew 16, Jesus said to him, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." You remember? It was just a powerful moment where he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom." I mean, Matthew 16, 13 through 20, powerful stuff, I hope you know. But it says that Jesus is going to build a church, and Peter picks up on that principle. He's the one that got that revelation, and some decades later, he's writing in here in his epistle to the scattered diaspora of saints. He writes in verse 2, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house. Now, what that is saying, believers, is that the Lord is building a spiritual house. It's not the physical temple anymore. There's a momentum in your life that is the pressure of the Holy Spirit to put you as a living stone and another living stone together to build a corporate people, a group of people that are moving together in the Spirit by the power of God. And so I know we've talked about how much resistance there is to one anothering, to being the body of Christ, that I have a predilection to independence. Amy and I were repenting of this last night and confessing. Just we have a, you know, we just kind of would like to kind of be around people a little bit, then most of the time not, you know, and be independent. But the Holy Spirit is working in our lives because we're being built into a spiritual house to be this thing called a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he's raising up everybody in here that would call themselves a believer. You're a priest. You're in this thing called a holy priesthood, and you're supposed to be on mission offering what are called spiritual sacrifices. Not lambs and goats, physical. That's what he's saying. The adjective's different here. Not physical sacrifices. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice that makes atonement. But now that high priest is raising up a whole bunch of priests that are offering what are called spiritual sacrifices. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him," Jesus, "will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Meaning Jesus is either, remember, he's the rock that you're stumbling over him and offended by him, or you're embracing him and you're standing on the rock of him. So he's either an offense or he is fully the Savior. I was equipping and talking with Grace this week, who's ministering to one of her high school friends who's really professing a believer but struggling with, anyway, and struggling with a lot of stuff. And we were just going through this issue of removing the middle ground about Jesus. This is one of those verses that talks about that Jesus is either who he says he is, glorious, Lord, Savior, King, Lord of everything, or liar, lunatic. You know what I mean? You can't put him in the middle, good prophet, good guy that's going to help us, great religious leader. That's just wrong to do. Multiple religions do that, and that's a different Jesus. He's either all the way who he says he is, or he is a crazy man if you read all of his words. And so they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Now everybody, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood." You the body, this is you. "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So what we see here, obviously, is the amazing thing. I hope you'll meditate on this week and get it into your heart. He calls us a royal priesthood, a chosen race. Everybody, not just guys who stand up and preach or have seminary degrees or wear robes and ring bells and things. Everybody in the body of Christ, if you're in there, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Now, this issue of there being a bunch of priests is really not new to the New Testament. Paul, or Peter, is jumping off of Exodus 19, 5 through 6. And it's where Moses was speaking to Israel, 3 million people, after they've been delivered. He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples on the earth, for the earth is mine. and you shall, all you Israelites, become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel, he says. So he says, go and tell them they're my treasured possession, and I'm making a kingdom of priests. I'm making a big corporate body of priests that are moving around on planet Earth and releasing my blessings. So Peter's obviously not the first one to come up with that. Moses was inspired by the Spirit to write it before. In fact, if you go back further, everybody, if I go back 2,500 years further to the beginning, Adam really is the first priest on planet Earth, and the Garden of Eden is the first temple space. Really, you have Adam there with the ordained blessing of God to release the blessing and the glory of God in the earth, and he's in this temple space that's unique called the Garden of Eden, where the tree of life was, and Adam would walk with the presence of God. You see, mankind, we're the mediators. We're called to be priests. It's in our destiny. It's what he called us to be. That makes us above angels. It makes us above the animal kingdom, obviously. We are a unique people, and the Lord has called his church to be a royal priesthood. So God desires a universal and a global priesthood. Israel was to be this, even in the Old Covenant, but they failed. So Jesus comes as the high priest, the representative, glorious last Adam, and he calls the community, does his work of atonement, lets people be born again so that the church that he builds would be a holy priesthood. But, as Dina will put this up, we've struggled with this being a priesthood because of the unbiblically divided congregations of and manifestations of priests and parishioners, or you might have heard it, clergy and laity. If you're in the Catholic tradition, that's what it is. You got a guy in a robe, he's not married, he comes out, and he dispenses blessing on people, and there's a great divide between who's the priest and who are the parishioners. The problem with that is it's not in the Bible. The problem with that is that there is no division. We're all supposed to be priests of the living God. We're all saints, not just special people who gain sainthood. And I'm just preaching the Bible to you. Every believer is a saint of God. Every believer is a priest of God. So when you have centuries after centuries of the spread of Christianity that non-verbally speaks and verbally, that there are these special people who are the priest and people are the parishioners, it begins to bring the congregation down. It begins to make people think of themselves less. There's people who go meet with God up on the high mountain and get their words, and then they come down and they speak to us. We call that, someone called it the MOG syndrome, the man of God syndrome. I will go and hear from God. Y'all show up on Sunday. I'll tell you what he said. You try to live it and then come back next Sunday and I'll tell you again. That's not Christianity. Everybody's a priest. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. So Catholics have done that, but oh my, how Protestants have done that. We have the clergy, laity, the people that are on the staff and the missionary, you know, the missionaries and the preachers, and we go and meet with God and read my Bible a lot, preach, and then there's some kind of division that can begin to happen. Look at us right now. You're all sitting there listening to this little freak go off about this stuff. And in it, if we don't acknowledge this as not necessarily the normal, I have faith for what we're doing right now because I want to dispense some word to you. I feel a gift of teaching. But I'm not more of a priest than Andy Brickley. I'm not more of a priest than Burt Long. No way. I'm not more qualified. I'm not more empowered. I'm not. Just because I'm obsessive for reading my Bible, what my qualification is Jesus, and what their qualification is Jesus. And they have an identity in him, and they are called to be priests. So let this not become a delusion. As I said in Wichita, I think I can be a blessing to the body of Christ in this process, and I can be a big bummer to the body of Christ and a distraction, because you can think, well, he's the preacher guy. He's into all these holy things, and he comes and tries to motivate us while we go live our real lives. And that's just not normal Christianity. And in fact, the Reformation is still happening to break us out of that process, and we're about to practice that here in a moment. So, what is a priest? You're a priest, but what is a priest? Here's some things that a priest are, very quickly. They're specially chosen by God. Specifically, of the 12 tribes, how many tribes were the priests, everybody? One. What was their name? The Levites. The Levites were set aside, chosen by God to minister in the presence of God and to minister the things of God. Number two, they're favored to minister in the presence of God. Everybody else had to stay out. fact, if you didn't stay out and rushed in, you could die. So the priest had access by favor of God to enter into the presence of God. You can too. You have to let, I don't have to bring you into the presence of God. You don't have to hear from God just from me. You can go boldly before the throne of grace because you're a priest of God. Number three, priests are mediators between God and sinful man. The priest would mediate the blood of goats and that. Well, Jesus has now become the mediator, and he's made us now mediators to the rest of the earth, the lost earth. We are priests who bring the message of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. And so what a privilege to do that. Number four, we're endowed with power to release blessings, anointings, and like I said, to offer the message of sacrifices. That's you, every one of you. All of you are called, specially chosen by God. You're favored to be in the presence of God. You've got a mediating ministry between God of heaven, who so loved this world, he sent his son. I'm not just waiting on Jan to do this. I'm not just waiting on missionaries, or Steve Miller or Richard. We're all called to be the mediators bringing that. It's our privilege and our honor. And we are endowed with the power to release blessing. The whole planet is under a curse. Everybody's living that curse. That curse is begetting death everywhere. You can watch it in your workplace, in your neighborhoods. The curse is killing people. But the Lord has endowed his priest with the power of blessing for us to break the curse everywhere we go in the power of the name of Jesus through prayer and through powerfully spoken words. You have the power to bless. You have the power to bless. That's what's so aberrant when we gossip and slander and are critical. Your tongue was sanctified and now is made to release blessing. It's not supposed to come into agreement with this cursed earth. That's why we've got to break all that evil speaking. And the book of Ephesians will say we grieve the spirit by our unwholesome talk and our words, because we're made and ordained to do this. You can release blessing where there's curse. And number five, then the last one is, we're heirs of the kingdom of God. Priests are people who have a unique inheritance. The Levites, you remember that? They're the only tribe that didn't get land. The Benjamites got a real estate. You know, the Simeonites had real estate. But the Levites got no land. Remember why? Because the Lord God was their inheritance. The kingdom of God is our inheritance. Priests are people that have broken out of the cursed thought that we got to get all ours right here, that are living for this dark age, investing, spending, pleasure. I'm going to get mine because my life's about now. No, priests of God have died to themselves, are living to the Lord, and are storing up for an age to come because they have a great hope. I personally am going to inherit in the kingdom of God. I love giving. I talked about a hot kingdom stock tip, investing into North Korea, whatever missions, you're storing up treasure in the age to come. That's where I want to get mine, not here, but in the age to come. And we'll also get real estate because it says the meek will inherit the earth. So priests are doing these things. I'm wondering, do you have confidence in these? Do you know? Do you know and sense you're chosen? Do you know you've got favor to literally go into the presence of God? Do you know you're a mediator? Do you know you have the power and you're the only hope for the power of blessing to break forth in your neighborhood, in your workplace, and other places? The blessing is more powerful than the curse. Jesus became a curse on the cross that he might bring a blessing to all upon the earth, it says in Galatians 3. And so you're the blesser. You're not the curser. You've got the power to anoint and to release that message of the sacrifice, and you're heirs of the kingdom of God. I'm wondering where you are with this. I grapple with it myself, and I'm in the business, you know? I do this all the time, and I'm having to grapple with a lying enemy that shrouds me with shame. I love the song, In Christ Alone. What a hymn, what a modern hymn. In Christ Alone, no fear, no guilt in life, no fear in death. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. You know, I'm working with it all the time, though, where I'm having to deal with the issue of guilt and shame, and it restricts my flow of moving in confidence. There's so much unconfidence and insecurity in the body of Christ. And I want to say this again. I said it in a different way earlier, but I know that in this room, maybe, I may be the most obsessed Bible reader in the room. I'm just obsessed with it. I've been doing it for 37 years. But just because I've read my Bible hundreds and hundreds of times does not make me more of a priest than anybody in this room. It doesn't. Just because I preach and do 25 years of ministry does not make me more of a priest. I'm a priest because I'm in the high priest who made me one. So someone that just knows one Bible verse, John 3:16, you're just as much a priest as I am. The qualification comes from Jesus and not from your performance. So, everybody in this room, you're a priest. I would like you to do a silly thing right now, if you don't mind, because it's going to be a morning of silly things. Are you ready? On the count of three, I would like you to say, I am a priest. One, two, three. You got to do it one more time. One more time. Silly, silly, but we're doing it. Ready? One, two, three. I am a priest. It's interesting, in one of these descriptions, it'll add the adjective royal. I love that. A royal priesthood. I mean, if being a priest is not off the chart, it says that we're kingly priests. We've got royalty because we're actually sons of the king. And so you've got that authority and that glory, and that's for another lesson. So basically this morning, what we wanted to do is I wanted to spend some time sowing this into you for a moment, and then we want to do this. We want to work with this and be priests this morning. Everybody in this room that believes that you're a priest of the living God, say amen. Everyone in this room that knowing that you're a priest of God affects how you live your life, say amen. I was hoping that would be less, or not hoping, but figuring. Being one and knowing you are one, quite a deal there. The enemy wants a spiritual identity crisis on the body of Christ. He wants you thinking you're a pauper when you're really a priest. He wants you thinking you're a beggar who's not deserving of anything when you're a royal son of the living God who's worthy of all things because you're in the worthy one. Is anybody else struggling with this at all? Is anyone being assaulted with the shame of the past or the lack of the feeling of qualification now? If you are, say, oh my. Oh, please. Is anyone, are you dealing with this? This is where we're going to talk this morning. And we got a deal and we're going to get a little uncomfortable. Our mission is not to preach over and over what you ought to be and what you are and then you never do and actually become. This morning, we want to activate the priesthood. We want to be a living priesthood this morning. I want you to walk in these things. And we've got some questions here that I really wanted you to consider this morning as we kind of break into some groups. Do you understand what a biblical priest is when they use that word? Number two is, do you believe and have confidence? That's something. Do you have confidence that you are chosen, you are favored, and you are a royal priest? And if not, why not? And are you ready to confess? We broke into groups over in Wichita, and I heard people confessing, I'm an idolater because I think about my opinion of me. I put it higher than I take God's opinion of me. I think I'm this in the dregs. God says I'm a royal son. There's something wrong about that. Does that make sense? So they were repenting for idolatry and worshiping their own feelings and their opinions. It's a powerful thing. Number three, I want you to consider, what are the spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer? It's not goats, it's not lambs. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices. That's your mission. We offer those as a priest. And lastly, how do we proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? So, what we're going to do now is do the word. We're going to take some time and do it. And this is going to be, it's harder here than it was in Wichita. Wichita, we set up a bunch of tables and we were in small groups. What I need you to do is, would everyone please, in a moment, get up, and we have communion. Joe, we have it here, is that right? And do we have it in the back too? Would you please go and get communion for yourself, but please don't take it yet. Instruction number one. Go. Go. There's no music. I don't have an organ to go during this time. Get your... the little cup and the little piece of bread, if somebody needs to have it brought to them, bring them back. And please come back to your seats. Don't take them yet.
Good job, good job. If you could grab them, all you, this holy priesthood moving around this room, grabbing the sacrificial elements that remind us of the great high priest who did the glorious atonement. Jesus entered through the heavenly tabernacle, one not made by human hands. And once for all, he shed his blood. Jesus went through into the Holy of Holies in the heavenly realms. It's just glorious. And we're grabbing these elements that stand for the blood and the body. It's good, isn't it, Randy? The blood and the body of Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the atonement today? So thankful that Jesus died for us. Film, guys, you can be done. We don't need to film any of this. Thank you. That's awesome. Go back and give her a thing. Amen. Are you thankful for Calvary? Isn't it great? We were so in trouble. And the glorious King comes and bears all of our sins. All of them, not just part of them. All of them. And here we are with the broken body and the spilt blood. It's glorious. It's glorious. Sometimes the communion time can be a little somber, but I think it ought to be pretty rejoicing. Praise God for our victory. Our victor, this is him. Isn't it amazing that most victors in human history, it's the spoils of owning land and conquering and killing people. The great victory of our king was that he himself was killed for us. It's shocking to the soul. And so what we want to do this morning is, you've got that back, it's going to be a little hard in here, but I need...